Greetings, Saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we ask you to please join us today and meet our needs for seeing and hearing. Grant us grace, Lord, to walk in your word, the eternal seed of God, and deliver us from the evil, Lord, the wicked that walk in this world who hate you and hate your word. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, got a revelation here and a teaching. We called it Love the Seed of God or Lose It. You wouldn't believe how people can lose it. It's amazing, astounding. Anyway, this first dream here was given to Claire Pinar, 9:30 and 20. Share it with you, along with a lot of word. Okay? I dreamed God led me to my kitchen window and said, "Look." I saw him scatter seed all over the garden where our chickens are kept. And I believe that this represents being among the unclean fowl out in the world, you know, outside the house, so to speak. He said, "Watch." And I saw these huge black crow-like birds come down to devour the seed almost instantly. As I felt a wind rushed past when the seed was scattered. Well, what came to me was Mark 4 and 15, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, meaning they are not in the way, which is what the early Christians called it, right? But it was sown out there among the chickens. And when they have heard, straightway cometh Satan and taketh away the word which has been sown in them. Well, here's huge birds gobbling up the seed. If a prophecy of the future is true, this is a great falling away, which also Rion spoke, you know, in this text. Rion is Claire's husband. And also the same text, relatively the same, is Matthew 13 and 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the evil one and snatcheth away that which has been sown in his heart. So it actually was sown in his heart. This is he that was sown by the wayside. We've all known a people who did not consider the seed of the word to be of value enough to keep it when they were tested or tempted, and so it was taken away from them. And that, of course, means that they gave it up by continuing to live on the wayside instead of on the way. These people who have lost the seed, I've seen it miraculously taken from so many people. It's like you share something really good with them. They love it. They hold on to it for a while, and then they consider it not as valuable as other things, which are temptations of the devil. So they fall away. And, of course, this cleanses the body. I've had them actually tell me that everything that they learned at UBM has been taken from their mind. I understand that. This is exactly what this is speaking about. The love of the seed or the word is the love of God, because he is the word, which is the light of the world. You know, we can't separate the seed of the word from God himself. Jesus is the word made flesh, and his children also are the word made flesh. We eat that word, it goes into us and recreates him in us, right? The way it's supposed to be. And John 3 and 19 through 21 says, "And this is the judgment, that light is come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light." Well, here's the light penetrating their heart, and yet they give it up in the midst of the trial, the temptation of the devil. It just proves one thing, that they don't love the light. They don't love the seed. They don't hold fast to it as though it were a valuable thing. And it went on to say, because their works are evil. Yeah, people who love evil works do not love the seed, and ultimately will give it up. "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, and cometh not to the light, lest his works should be reproved." I've talked to people who fell away from the Lord, and they don't want to hear the word. They totally ignore the word. Gave it up completely. They have no love for it. And, of course, they will bear no fruit of Jesus Christ, because he is the word. But, verse 21, "But he that doeth the truth cometh to the light." There it is. This is the key. Doeth the truth. See, you can have the truth, but not do it, and it will be taken from you. He that doeth the truth cometh to the light, that his works may be made manifest, means to shine forth, right? That they have been wrought in God. Yes, anyone who holds on to the word in their heart in the midst of the trial and doesn't give it up as something cheap when the devil tempts them with the baubles of this world, these people will bear fruit. And as we have seen, the huge black birds represent Satan, who steals, kills, and destroys. And even though he may be manifest through his demons everywhere and through people who have them, it's still him. It's still him stealing the word. There's only two men in the earth. There's Christ and Antichrist, you know. "You're either for me or against me," Jesus said. Well, therefore, you know, those who are against Jesus and against you, they're Antichrist. They had really large, sharp beaks. I believe this represents words and thoughts of men and of demons that replace the seed of the word because they don't value it. If you're tempted, for instance, to be critical or unforgiving or angry, just think, if you give in to those things, you had just given up the word. How far is the word going to last in you if you lean always to the flesh? If you walk after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. And goes on to say that the love of God, the Word, is not in them. Right? Not in them. And Claire said the sharp beaks can represent how the false doctrine of the apostate harlot pierces the hearts of their following. The very shiny black wings, he said, represent the word is carried away by shallow teachings and slick sermons, gadgets, lights, and action of shows that they host weekly. True. That can be it. Or it can just be a person like you and I who is not into all that, who simply hear temptation in their mind and give in to it and give up the seed. If you don't use it, you will lose it. You don't walk in it. You may love it when you hear it. You may love it when you hear it. The parable of the sower is very clear about that. But if you don't use it when you hear it, you will lose it. And then he said, now see, a huge white sheet cloth came over the sea. And I believe this represents righteous works from a hearer that doeth, quote unquote, the word. In other words, they get on the way. They get on the way, not just beside the way, right? And the crows could not get to the seed anymore. So a huge white sheet cloth came down over the seed, and the crows could not get to the seed anymore. They left immediately. They knew that there was no way through that sheet. Again, if it represents righteousness, that's a person who holds on to the seed. They're not going to give it up in the midst of the trial. They consider the temptations as worth nothing compared to the seed. They love the seed, who is the Word, who is Christ. They love Christ. They love the seed. They hold on to it. The sheet was blinding white. Yeah, amen. Like the garments of the bride in Revelation 19, right? And on top, it has scripture written on it in Greek, which I could not understand. Obviously, it wasn't necessary to understand it, but Greek does represent the New Testament, which is for all those who live by faith, not by the law, as in the Old Testament. We know what Greek represents. And Rion here said Greek letters represent the original true gospel. It's true. The numeric pattern, by the way, in the New Testament is in the Greek. It's not in the Hebrew, letting you know that God wrote it originally in Greek, contrary to what many people say. That's the truth that was once and for all delivered unto the saints that we're supposed to seek after, right? And then I heard a choir sing, trust and obey. And I added there, for there is no other way. Yes, it's true. There is no other way. Trust and obey. So she heard, trust and obey. Choir was singing it. And she said, I prayed fervently for that seed. Amen. Well, the only way to keep the seed of the word is to believe in it and act on it. That's what trust and obey means. Believing it is the only way to receive power to obey. That's why trust is first and obey is second. Right? And Matthew 13 and 20 says, and he that was sown upon the rocky places, this is he that heareth the word and straightway with joy receiveth it. I've seen these people come. All of the faction came that way. They with joy received it. Yet he hath not root in himself. In other words, they weren't trusting and obeying. But endured for a while, yep. And when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, what is tribulation? Tribulation is a trial, right? A test, right? Or persecution arises because of the word, straightway he stumbleth. In other words, he does not trust and obey. Stumbling is not obeying. And he that was sown among the thorns, this is he that hears the word, and the care of the world, something else that they thought was more valuable than the word, right? And the deceitfulness of riches, something else that they thought was more valuable than the word. Choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. This is pretty common. If you look at the parable of the sower, you see that three out of every four fall away, and for one of these reasons. And I think that if Satan's thoughts of unforgiveness, criticism, selfishness, ego, disobedience, faction, love of the world enter into your heart, you're losing the seed and you're going to bear no fruit. This I know from experience, and especially all of those that have been around me here have seen by experience. Many of you out there also have seen this by experience. 23, and he that was sown upon the good ground, this is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, who verily beareth fruit, which is obedience. If you'll notice, all the fruits of the Spirit are actually obedience. Verily beareth fruit, and bringeth forth, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Yes. So, they bring forth the fruit of Jesus, and they enter the kingdom. And the other three out of the four do not enter the kingdom. It should be putting the fear of God in people, but when people become reprobate because they've let the devil in, they're not afraid. They don't have the fear of God at all. In the dream, I was taken aback by the size of the crows, as they were the size of eagles. But I was not scared. I remember thinking, that's the size of the American eagle. You know, just side issue here. Let me say that there are some people that purport to be of the eagle in America who are doing their best to steal the seed. Yes, they are. They want to destroy Christianity. That is the faction in the world and the faction in the church. They want to destroy Christianity, and everybody that listens to their slander is destroyed. The mainstream media is sending out slander, and people are getting demon possessed. Have you noticed? Slander does that. It should never listen to it. Okay, and of course in the church the same thing is happening. Those that listen to slander get demon possessed because it is forbidden, and God said he will destroy the slanderer. So there you have it. He does. The chickens, which are the unclean fowl outside of the house, ran for cover. Of course, they didn't have any protection, right? I remember thinking, I don't want the crows to eat all that seed. It's not for them. Well, God gave us more light so that we can deal with the flesh, the mind, the will, the emotions, and cast out the unclean thoughts and walk in the word of faith for salvation and deliverance and healing. If you hold fast to the seed and not get tempted, you will have everything that God provides. When people start out to believe, does everybody endure to the end to receive? No, they don't. What causes them to give up? Another seed. Or the birds coming to steal the seed which was sown in their heart. Many don't endure to the end to be saved, as Jesus said, or healed or delivered or whatever. They don't endure to the end. Some people consistently don't do it, and of course they don't bear fruit. Luke 12:47-48 says, and that servant who knew his Lord's will and made not ready, nor did according to his will, in other words, they knew about the seed, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. So people who actually have received more of the seed because they in the beginning loved it and liked it, you know, but did not endure, they're going to fall away. But they're going to also get more stripes than the sinner out there who's never heard the word of God, the seed of God, because they are more responsible. And to whomsoever much is given, this is that more responsible thing here. To whomsoever much is given of him shall much be required. And to whom they commit much, of him will they ask the more. So I see people who have received a lot of the word, and they have the ability of going farther from God than any sinner out there. Got to tell you, I've noticed it and watched it. They are more corrupt than when they came to the Lord, because they're judged more heavily because they've received more of the word and disobeyed more of the word. They were made responsible for the word, but they did not keep it. I asked the Lord for a word by faith at random and received Jeremiah 25:9, with my finger on roundabout and inhabitants. Behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, says the Lord, and I will send unto Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and I will bring them against this land. And of course, that's against those who don't trust and obey, right? And against the inhabitants thereof, and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them, and make them an astonishment, and a hissing, and a perpetual desolation. Well, the king of Babylon, the deep state, is attacking and burning your land. Yes, happening now. And the parallel, of course, is in the church. The faction in the church is attacking and burning God's land. They're anarchists too. You know, witchcraft is rebellion. And that's the first spirit that they receive, is rebellion. Those not covered by the purity of Christ, as shown by the white sheet in this dream, vision, through obedience and faith, are not going to be protected and will be devoured by the black birds. Right? True. So, we have to love the seed, or the word, and which is, of course, the love of God, because he is the word, and his children also are the word. Anything that's born of God, each seed brings forth after its own kind, so everyone that's born of God, the part of you that's born of God, is a product of the word. We too are to be the word made flesh. Spend all your time in church, hear a couple of verses, and go away moralized, right? No, it's better if you just stay home and read the word than to get something that is not pure, that will not bring forth a pure Christ. When I discovered the word, I just loved it. I had no interest in the word before. But when I picked it up, started reading it, a love of the word came over me, and I could not put it down. I could not put it down, and I can't put it down today. It is so awesome. It is God. I learned that loving the word is loving God. And I studied day and night, and I forgot about the world and the things that I loved before. The stuff I got rid of was amazing. Because I had lots of hobbies and lots of loves in the world, but suddenly these weren't worth anything to me. Yeah. And then, of course, I spent my life assimilating the word and feeding it to others. Satan's minions came to steal the word out of the mouths of God's children. His minions slandered to discredit the word, stole money, took down our site and our videos because they hate the word. But by the grace of God, we are and will continue to overcome them because we love the word and his children. Praise God. When I was young, I was prophesied to more than once that I was going to bring great light of the word to the world. And the Word is the seed and the light, and it's God. And those who love the Word love God and hold it fast. And they come into His image, 30, 60, and 100-fold. Nobody preaches this better than John. In 1 John 1:5-7, he says, "And this is the message which we have heard from Him, and announce unto you, that God is light." And we know God is the Word, right? "And in Him is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness," which is disobedience to the Word, right, "we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another." Yes, we don't have to depart from the saints because of anger. "Anger is of the devil. Hatred is of the devil. Faction is of the devil. Yes, slander is of the devil." You want the seed of these things to come into your mind? They will kick out the Word every time. And, of course, the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin, it goes on to say. And 1 John 2:3-6 says this, "And hereby we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments." In other words, we love the Word. We hold to the Word. We hold to God. "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily hath the love of God," there it is, "been perfected." In other words, the love of God, which is the love of the Word, this person has been perfected if he keepeth his word. You can see the rebels out there. They don't care about anything but their own ambition. They're demon-possessed. We know what demons like and what they don't like. They don't like the Word, and they don't like you. They didn't like Jesus, and He said they wouldn't like us. So, if you're not hated, you're not the Word. Anybody in whom the devil is, or one of his demons, they will hate you if you love the Word. Jesus said so. "So hereby we know that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk even as He walked." You can't walk as He walked if you don't love the Word. Because all the Word, all the world is against the Word. The only way you can walk as He walked is if you love the Word, which is Him. If you love Him, you will keep His commandments. That's walking as He walked, right? And 1 John 2:15-17 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." It's easy to see who loves the world. They clutch to these things. They spend their time on these things. They love these things. And sometimes the things might just be self. They love their self. Spend time on their self. They're not going to give up their self in order to have Jesus. And so the love of the Father is not in these people. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the desires of the carnal man," the desires of the fleshly man, "the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes," things that they see and they put their love on, that's God, which is, of course, an idol, "and the vainglory of life," the vainglory of the fallen life. Yeah. How does it compare with the life that God offers through His Word? It can't, but they're deceived into thinking it can. And so they give up the life of Christ for the life of the world. And he goes on to say, is not of the Father, but is of the world. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the vainglory of life is not of the Father, it is of the world. You can tell that by those early disciples. They left everything to go out and share with those who would be God's people, which they found out by seeing them hear the word and receive the word. That's how you find that out. To them, that was more important than all of the world. They left the world. Jesus left the world. Now you got a prosperity doctrine where these people can be in the church, run after all of these things, and still say they love God. But sooner or later it catches up to them and the demons start taking them over. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. 1 John 2:18-19. Little children, it's the last hour. And it was the last hours of their covenant, obviously. Now it's the last hour of our covenant, so this applies very well to us too. Little children, it's the last hour. And as you have heard that Antichrist cometh, oh, we've heard that too, but it's a false doctrine, and he's going to tell you why. But even now have there arisen many antichrists. The Bible also always talks about many antichrists. And this is the antichrist. He called it the antichrist, but in that text it was talking about a corporate body of antichrists very clearly. Okay, so even now there have arisen many antichrists. Where from? He goes on to say, whereby we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us. Where did Antichrist go? They went out from among us. Oh. But they were not of us. Oh, I thought they were. Well, they all thought Judas was too. They thought he was one of them. He even did signs and wonders. But they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. This is the facts. Not use some kind of a stupid excuse that's not even the truth to separate. First guy that started this, we gave him a dream that was telling him what he was doing at the moment. And he fell out, ran to the homosexual crowd, the bisexual crowd, gathered them first, and he went to deceive others. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they all are not of us. They listen to it. They went out so it could be made manifest that they all are not of us. Well, even now, the Antichrist gathered together against the word in the world and in the church. Gathering right now. It's the scenarios that God has given us about this end time leading up to the Red Sea experience that he was going to give to them. The Sennacherib scenario. He gathered outside the camp of the bride. He was smitten, and his own children killed him. Jehoshaphat scenario, where three armies came against the bride, Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat at its head, and they were smitten. They killed each other off. The northern army scenario, they also, when God's people cried out, were smitten. All of these were by miracles of God. And the Red Sea scenario, which is also a miracle of God, the same thing. The Antichrist gathered against the Christ, right? It's the same thing that's happening today. You can look out there and see them. Yep. and they think they're going to have a victory. All of these thought they were going to have a victory. And every one of these scenarios thought they were going to, they all got slaughtered by the hand of God. Well, you know, lunacy is doing the same thing that's never worked, thinking it's going to work. You know? Anyway. So these scenarios which depict this gathering of antichrists and their ultimate end, the Red Sea, you know, is something we've been receiving for quite a while. God keeps reemphasizing it to us. Don't worry about them. Take care of them. 1 John 2:24. As for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. Now, of course, that is the original word, like we saw the Greek, right? The original word. And only seed of God. Original word is the only seed of God. Preachers can, you know, modify it, tweak it, do all the... It's not the seed of God anymore. Your DNA is pretty specific, you know. You could, if you change it, you get a different product, a different fruit. If that which you heard from the beginning abide in you, you also shall abide in the Son and in the Father. If the word of God, which you heard from the beginning, abides in you, in other words, you don't give it up because of some temptation, then you're abiding in the Son and in the Father. How awesome. 1 John 2:28 and 29. And now, my little children, abide in him, that if he shall be manifested, which means to shine forth in us, we may have boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Of course, if that glory of God is shining forth from you, 30, 60, or 100-fold, you're not going to be ashamed before him. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Look, everyone who is born of him doeth righteousness. And 1 John 3, 2-19 says, Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it's not yet made manifest. In other words, it's not quite started to shine forth yet. Of what we shall be, but we know that if he shall be manifested, it shines forth, right? We shall be like him. We shall see him even as he is. In other words, they see Jesus in the mirror, the real Jesus in the mirror. 2 Corinthians 3:18 will bring forth the real Jesus in you. If you got an opinion about Jesus that's from dead religion, you're not going to come into the image of Jesus. Everyone that purifies himself has the hope of coming into his image. And this hope set on him purifieth himself even as he is pure. How is that? Well, God is able to do it all. He does it all. Everyone that doeth sin doeth also lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. Yeah, these people that are antichrist out there, they break God's laws and men's laws. But whether, if you're talking about the antichrist in the world out there, like the deep state or whatever, they're Satanists. Just like the ones in the church, they're Satanists. They follow Satan. And they break God's laws and men's laws. And the ones in the church do too. They break God's laws and men's laws. They are lawless. Lawless. And you know that he was manifested to take away sins. And in him is no sin. If you're going to abide in him, whatsoever part of you abides in him is not going to sin. The rest of it does not abide in him. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither knoweth him. People who walk in sin do not know him. At least the part of them that walks in sin does not know him. It will never bear fruit. It will never come into his image. My little children, let no man lead you astray. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. There you go. He that doeth, don't be deceived. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. If you do righteousness, you're going to look like him. You're going to walk in his steps. You're going to come into his image. And of course, the more we love the word, the quicker we're going to come into his image. And he that doeth sin is of the devil. It doesn't matter whether they sit on a church pew. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. To this end was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is begotten of God doeth no sin, because his seed abides in him. There it is. They did not give up the seed. Seed stayed in them because they loved it. They cherished it. The word of God they loved. They wouldn't give it up to sin. And he cannot sin because he is born of God or begotten of God. Same word. Cannot sin. In this the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. So you see they're growing together side by side, just like the Lord said. But he said, at the harvest, you go and you gather up first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, and then the righteous will shine forth in the kingdom of their Father. This is what's happening. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Neither he that loveth not his brother. There is a fierce hatred that will make these people stay around and do nothing to bring anybody to God, but they will chew on you. Fierce hatred. They bear no fruit of God, but they're going to chew on you, right? 11. For this is the message which you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain was of the evil one and slew his brother. They're still of the evil one. And wherefore slew he him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. What is the cause of these people slaying the brothers of Gideon, sons of Gideon, for instance? You know? Leaving one man child who spoke the judgment upon these wicked factionists, you know. Because his works were evil and his brothers righteous. That's why they hate him. Marvel not, brethren, if the world hateth you. Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. They hate the word no matter what body it walks in. You understand? We know that we have passed out of death and into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. There you go. They kill their brother because they hate their brother. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. So they... If you don't forgive, you don't have eternal life, because Jesus said, if you don't forgive, you're not forgiven. They hate their brother, so they don't have eternal life that way either. It is so clear that they have not eternal life. If they die in this state, it's eternal fire. Hereby know we love, because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Yeah, I loved the word, and it just put in me to lay down my life for the brethren. I mean, everybody thought I went crazy because the only thing I was interested in is the word and running after Jesus and sharing Jesus. And that it's the same with everybody that loves Jesus, loves the word. They're not going to give up the word. It's too valuable. It's eternal life. Some give their life to serve the brethren, and others give their life to destroy them. Exactly. But whoso hath the world's goods, and beholdeth his brother in need, and shutteth up his compassion from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Some give their goods to others, and others steal them. They can't get enough. Judas was a thief. He was full of rejection. He was full of faction. And he was a thief, and he killed himself, just like Absalom. Hung himself, just like Absalom. Everybody out there who hangs himself, it's because they love themselves more than they love God. My little children, let us not love in word. I've had them tell me, oh, I love you, David, but just turn around so I can stab you one more time. I just love you. I said, no, you don't. Neither with the tongue, but in deed and in truth. Hereby shall we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our heart before him. There you go. 1 John 4, 6 through 13 says, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He who is not of God heareth us not. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. But you can't know God. You can't keep God. You will lose him. If you don't love the Word or love God, you will lose that. Herein was the love of God manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Men, what a valuable prize. Who would give that up and eternal life in heavenly bliss for these baubles that the devil offers down here, you know? Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins, or for our sins. Propitiation means that blood covering that he's talking about. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath beheld God at any time. If we love one another, God abideth in us. There you go. And love, you know, agape love is not just words or thoughts. It's action. That's what agape love is. It's action towards your brother. And his love is perfected in us. Hereby we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. John 4:16-5:4. And we know and have believed the love which God hath in us. God is love, and he that abideth in love abideth in God. There's no other way, right? And God abideth in him. Herein is love made perfect with us, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, even so are we in this world. An astounding statement. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath punishment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, cannot love God, whom he hath not seen. True. Love God, they will love their brother. They will act in love towards their brother. Even if you think one has gone astray, you will pray and believe for them, and try to help them to believe too. And of course, a person that refuses that, they're just reprobate. They're not going to go with you. Verse 21, and this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is begotten of God, and whosoever loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. So there's a condition there. You don't love the brethren, you're not going to the kingdom. Hereby we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and do His commandments. See, some people say, oh, you're speaking works now. No, I'm just repeating the word. Hereby we know that we love the children of God. If you don't love them, you don't have eternal life. And when we love God, we do His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. So, if we love God, we love His word, we love His children, which is His word, which is His seed, and we love His children, right? And His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is begotten of God overcometh the world. See, when you're born of God, you overcome the world. Born of God by what? The seed that is sown in your heart. And this is the victory that hath overcome the world, even our faith. Amen. God, you're so awesome. Thank you, Lord, this love that you shed abroad in our hearts. The love of God that you shed abroad in our hearts, Lord, let it continue to go forth to all of our brethren, Lord. 1 John 5:11, and the witness is this, that God gave unto us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. If you have eternal life, it's because you're abiding in His Son. There are people who don't walk in the Son or live in the Son or abide in the Son, and they say they have eternal life because they accepted Jesus as their personal Savior. It's not possible. Notice, eternal life is not something He put in your hand. It's something He put in the Son. If you want it, you abide in the Son. Notice, in 18 and 19 says, we know that whosoever is begotten or born of God sinneth not. But he that was begotten of God keepeth himself. You can say no to the devil. Did you know that? If you're born of God, you can say no to the devil. And that's because the seed abides in you. It lives in you. It's become who you are. People are tempted and drawn away because they are not. If you eat the seed, it goes into you and it incorporates into your body, your very cells, who He is. When you are somebody different, you can resist something that is not a temptation to you anymore. And it goes on to say, and the evil one toucheth them not. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in the evil one. The whole world, everybody that's in the world and not in Christ, abideth in the evil one. O God, thank you so much for all that you do for us and that your drawing is in our hearts. And Lord, thank you for overcoming the wicked. Thank you, Lord, that these wicked are not polluting your church because you have bundled them into bundles. Your church is now shining more than ever. At least the bride is. And the man-child body is shining more than ever. Now the rest of the church is coming, and they too, the called-out ones that come out from among the Antichrists, they too will shine. But first, the leadership has to shine. Thank you, Father, for doing that. We know what you're doing. It's a wonderful thing. Your plan is perfect. It will work. And anybody that's got any common sense can look out there and see who the antichrists that left are. And Lord, yes, we pray. We believe a remnant was just deceived and will come back, but a majority will never come back to the Lord. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. We love you. We love your word. We want the brethren all over the world to receive your word. We send the word out to missionaries, and the wicked don't want us to do that. They've said, stop doing that. Don't do that. You know, they don't want the word to go out to the world. The demons in them speak against it. It's very wicked. The thing is, they're going to get more and more wicked so people can recognize them. Now we can look out there in the world and we can see how wicked people are. They go about acting like they're self-righteous, walking around burning down houses, killing people, etc., etc. And everybody can see who they are. And we can see the same thing in the church. Everybody can see who they are. Thank you, Father, for your goodness to us. Thank you for granting repentance to those who are yours. We pray for the elect among them to come out from among them and be separate. And the rest, Lord, I know what's going to happen. Your word just told us what's going to happen. Amen. I love you. Be blessed. Good night.